bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
And CBS News is next. The time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. 11 people are dead in Hamilton, Ohio, as an Easter dinner apparently ended in a bloody shooting spree. A suspect is in custody. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Police in Hamilton, a city about 30 miles north of Cincinnati, say eight children, their parents, and grandmother were shot to death in the living room and kitchen of a two-story house. All the victims were reported to have been shot in the head, except for one woman shot in the chest. Police reported taking a man into custody for questioning. To this hour, no charges have been filed against him. Investigating officers said they found three pistols in the living room, a rifle in the kitchen, spent shells on the floors of both rooms. Police Chief George McNally, who declined to speculate on a motive for the crime, termed the scene a bloody mess. CBS News continues following this message.
Dorella Perea grew up in New Mexico, and she remembers when her Mexican heritage was something you didn't bring to school.
If they caught us speaking Spanish, they would punish us. Some kids got to stand in trash cans, and some kids got the rulers on their knuckles for speaking Spanish in school. Actually, they made us feel very badly about our language and about our culture and about the way we dressed, the way we talked, the way we looked.
MALDEF, a grassroots legal defense group, assisted by the Campaign for Human Development, took their case to court and won. Now Dorella Perea is a teacher, and her students can be proud of their Mexican heritage.
They think, I must be pretty good if I come into this room and my teacher says that we can do tortillas and we can make sopaipillas and we have la raspa dance.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Campaign for Human Development. The United States Catholic Conference.
The word from Cambodia now is that Premier Lon Nol will leave Monday afternoon. That's at least 24 hours earlier than the earliest previous estimate of his departure time. Mike Snitowski reports from Phnom Penh.
Scheduled departure of President Lon Nol comes as a surprise even to the president's closest advisors. According to sources at the presidential palace, Lon Nol had decided to stay in Cambodia for better or worse, but only last Friday changed his mind once again. The president has agonized over leaving, but this time it is clear he has made a firm commitment to go. All day Sunday, Lon Nol's staff packed up his last-minute belongings, and he received his final visitors as Cambodia's president. Mike Snitowski for CBS News, Phnom Penh.
Lon Nol is not resigning officially, although he's going to Thailand, Indonesia, Hawaii, and possibly the continental United States. But while the premier is away, government leaders are expected to act as an ad hoc committee seeking peace talks with the Khmer Rouge. The continuation of any sea evacuation from coastal enclaves around Da Nang was placed in additional doubt Monday morning, with confirmation that North Vietnamese and Viet Cong have fired on the rescue ships. Earlier, the Viet Cong representative in Saigon had said foreign ships would not be allowed to enter the waters surrounding Da Nang without first obtaining permission from the communists. He sidestepped a direct question as to whether that meant fire would be directed at U.S. ships. South Vietnam has made an urgent request to the U.N. to intervene with the communists on behalf of an estimated 1.5 million refugees trapped in South Vietnam's northern provinces. The captain of the Pioneer Commander, owned by United States Lines and now in the South China Sea, fears his ship may be hijacked. The ship is headed for Cam Ranh Bay with more than 5,000 refugees from Da Nang. But the captain said communists, apparently political action personnel, slipped on the ship with the refugees. There's no word on whether they're armed. South Vietnamese military officers had blamed the quick fall of Da Nang on effective efforts by communist commandos working inside the city. The Ford Foundation says it will cut its annual grant budget in half in 1978. Foundation President McGeorge Bundy, writing in the organization's annual report for 1974, says the cuts must be made so the organization can survive the extraordinarily bad financial weather of 1973 and 1974. Until now, he said, annual program budgets had averaged about $200 million. More in a moment.
I'm Stanley Jordan, your host for a wonderful weekend on the movies, 1975. I'll talk with famous filmmakers about their movies and careers. Macon County Line producer Max Bayer Jr. said,
"This town changes you, the people in it. At least in the Hollywood area, I don't think that there is a crueler business in the world."
Join me inside the movies, 1975. 30 broadcasts, Saturday and Sunday, April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Don?
Hey, what's all the crying about?
I just want the baby to be born all right.
Oh, hey, it'll be all right. You've been taking good care of yourself. I know.
The time to worry about your first pregnancy is long before it happens, when your body is preparing itself for what it will have to go through. Find out what your body needs before you become pregnant. Write for the book, Food is More Than Just Something to Eat. Write Nutrition, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Hey, why are you crying?
Because I'm so happy. That's silly.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
The energy crunch appears to be reaching into the forests of the Pacific Northwest. The situation stems from a national shortage of natural gas. A derivative of natural gas commonly goes into the manufacture of nitrogen fertilizer. The shortage has caused skyrocketing fertilizer prices. Since enormous quantities of fertilizer are used to accelerate timber growth in controlled forests, the all-too-predictable expectation is higher lumber prices. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, AM and FM. In the weather outlook, variable cloudiness through tomorrow night with chance of showers, partly cloudy on Tuesday, the highs in the upper 40s and lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, 42 degrees, the same at the airport. Barometer rising, it reads 30.07. Wind out of the south at 12 miles per hour. Taking a look at sports briefly, in the NBA today, the Seattle Supersonics earned a spot in the playoffs as they defeated Portland 98-88. New Orleans beat Atlanta 108-105. LA over Phoenix 104-90. Washington defeated Chicago 94-82. And the New York Knicks dumped Milwaukee 111-99. CBS Mystery Theater is next. The time at KIXI is 7 minutes. Past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Someone once said that we are what we eat, a statement I'd not dispute, but I think we might go a step further and say, at least with equal accuracy, that we are what we think. Curiously, though, our thoughts shape our lives, our very destinies. Most of us, as any psychiatrist will tell you, are motivated by thoughts so deep within our psyches that we're really not aware of them at all. In point of which, consider the strange case of Anton Stern.
But Anton, please, Jonathan is dead. Our son died more than 6 months ago.
Stella, why do you do this to me? Why are you trying to break my heart?
Oh, my darling, break your heart. I'm trying to put the pieces back together again.
By lying to me? By telling me that Jonathan is back and... He's playing now. In the studio. Playing.
Anton, I hear nothing.
In the studio. Practicing. It's Jonathan, I tell you. Come, Stella. Come and see for yourself. Our son is alive.
Our mystery drama, Concerto in Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Marion Seldes and Ian Martin. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, nothing perks up a meal like an exciting side dish. And I'd like to tell you about one your family and your guests are sure to love and keep on loving. It's Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. It's a mouth-watering mixture of Uncle Ben's converted brand rice, wild rice herbs, and seasonings. It's the kind of side dish that can make an ordinary meal a great meal and can keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. In fact, Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is so good, they tell me that most everyone who tries it comes back for more. That's because there are no compromises in quality. But that's the way Uncle Ben's does business. So, to make an ordinary meal a great meal, try Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. And to make sure you get the quality ingredients and good taste I've told you about, make sure it's Uncle Ben's.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
This is the strange story of what befell Anton Stern only a few years ago. A story few people know. Yes, I am talking about the celebrated conductor of the City Symphony. To begin this curious tale, I'll ask you to join me in the Stern's duplex apartment on Park Avenue in New York City. It is late afternoon of an overcast autumn day. In the gracious living room, we find Stella, Anton's lovely wife, and his equally attractive daughter, Rebecca.
Oh, Mother, stop pacing up and down. You'll be worn out by the time Father gets here.
Oh, I can't help myself, Becky. I haven't seen him in 2 months.
You should have gone on tour with him. Or at least spent some time with him in one city or another.
I would have, you know that, if Dr. Edmonds hadn't advised against it.
Well, I'll never understand why. Granted, Edmonds is one of the best psychiatrists in the country, but still...
Well, he felt that my presence during the tour might be too much of a reminder of Jonathan's death. Well, you know as well as I that the tour was largely arranged as therapy.
I never realized what mental depression could do to a person till Jonathan collapsed and died while recording the Paganini First Violin Concerto.
Your father conducting.
Oh, what a terrible shock. To see your son, only 20 years old, drop dead before your eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. I brought it all back to you.
It's all right, Becky, dear. I expected Jonathan's death sooner or later. I was prepared for it. Your father wasn't.
But he knew of Jonathan's condition, his congenital heart condition.
Yes, but he never believed.
It frightened me. The way he kept insisting that Jonathan was alive. Imagined he heard him practicing in his studio upstairs.
Well, thanks to Dr. Edmonds, he recovered. And 2 months on tour has brought full recovery.
They're here. I'll answer the door, Olga.
Becky, how do I look?
Beautiful. Only don't look worried, Mother. Smile.
Yes. Anton.
Stella.
Oh, Anton,
Stella,
darling.
My darling.
Oh,
I missed you so.
I did, darling.
I, too. Oh, how I've missed you, and it's good to be home, Stella. It's good to be home. Oh, Rebecca.
Welcome home, Father.
Oh, thank you. It's good to see you, my dear. You were kept in practice while I was away?
Oh, yes. If I practiced any more, I'd have worn out the keyboard and the violin.
The violin? Oh, why waste your time How many times have I told you why waste your time on the fiddle when your brother's a prodigy? You stick to the piano and leave the violin to your gifted brother. Believe me, you... What is it? Why are you all looking at me?
Well, you said... Well, you talk as if... As if Jonathan...
Well, where is he? Why isn't he here to greet me?
McNally, I thought you said... When we talked on the phone, you said...
I know what I said, and I know what I'm hearing. What? Antoine.
Where is he, that son of mine? Where is he? Oh, of course. In his studio. Always in his studio. Jonathan, I'm home. Your father's home.
McNally, you said he was all right.
He was. Heaven help us till we came through that door. He was.
Anton?
Yes, come in, Stella. All of you, come in.
Are you all right, Anton?
What is all right, Mac? To know that my only son is dead, that's all right.
You do know, then?
Oh, yes. But for an instant there, a few moments, I was sure I heard him practice. Just as he used to. And I rushed up here to the studio only to find... emptiness. And then again, I knew he's dead. Dead.
Do you want us to call Dr. Edmund?
I'm all right. I'm recovered. Or as fully recovered as anyone can be after the death. His only son. You understand that?
Your only son? Yes, I understand.
What happened just now is just one of those things. Coming home after 2 months away, it got to me, that's all.
How about a drink, Anton? It's been a long, tiring day for you. The plane trip from Seattle. And...
Yes, yes. A drink would be good. Let's all go down and have one.
Come along then, dear.
Stradivarius. Jonathan Stradivarius. Who moved it? Who? Well, don't just stare at me, all of you. The case, I placed it here on the table just so, with a bowl of flowers there and his photograph there, and it's been moved. Who's been touching this case, touching Jonathan's violin?
Well, I didn't know that you...
Wanted it untouched. But I said so. I made it clear. No other hand was ever to touch the Strad. You?
Father, I didn't know.
You didn't?
Father, it's got to be kept in condition. It's a priceless Stradivarius. It's got to be played.
And you
so that...
played it. You played Jonathan's violin?
Anton.
It was never to be touched. I said that. I made it clear, never to be touched.
But Becky is your daughter, Jonathan's sister.
She's not Jonathan.
No. But I love you too, Father. Every bit as much as Jonathan did.
Well, I love you, Rebecca, but I... Never touch this again, please. It was his. It's all I have left to remember him. It's sacred to me. Promise me you'll never touch it again.
I promise.
Yeah, more wine, Mac?
Yeah, thanks, Anton, of course. It goes well with the beef. How are you, Steve? The finest cook in the world. She certainly hasn't lost her touch while we've been away, Stella.
No, and so long as she keeps her touch, I must be careful to keep her. You'd be astounded, McNally, at how many of our friends offer her more money to leave us for them.
Well, competition is competition. We lost... Vladimir Oblensky, thanks to it.
The man who replaced Jonathan.
You... Oh, glass slipped out of my hand. That was clumsy of me.
No, of me. I'm sorry.
Because you mentioned Jonathan? Oh, nonsense. I tell you, I'm perfectly recovered.
Yes, Father.
We did lose Oblensky, as Max says. He was not the finest concertmaster we ever had. Jonathan was that. No one can ever take his place, but... Oblensky was good, very good, very good. He left us in Seattle. Tomorrow I must try out another woman, Saskia, what's her name again, Mike?
Rubens. Better than Oblensky, ask me.
not as good as Jonathan.
No one can ever, will ever replace him in the orchestra. Or in my heart.
Speaking of Jonathan, Anton, Bakewell has asked me to talk to you again about releasing the Paganini First Violin Concerto.
You know my answer.
Oh, but, Anton, it was, if not the finest, certainly one of the finest things that Jonathan ever did.
And it killed him.
Anton, you can't.
I can and I do, Stella. As for you, Mac, it was without doubt the finest thing he ever did. Do you know why? Because he wanted it to be. He practiced and practiced and practiced until I warned him he would kill himself if he didn't stop. His heart. I knew his heart wouldn't take it.
But the heart attack, it could have struck at any time, anywhere.
Oh, he was determined, my son, Mac, determined to play it to perfection. Perfection! And he did. And because of it, he died in front of my very eyes.
Oh, Father. Father.
Leave me alone.
But, Father...
Rebecca!
I'm sorry. Anton, she loves you as much as Jonathan did, perhaps even more.
More? Impossible. No one ever loved me as much as Jonathan.
But perhaps you never gave anyone else, gave Becky the chance.
Oh, why are you badgering me like this?
Anton, where are you going?
To the studio. And please, leave me alone there.
I'm sorry, Stella.
It's not your fault. You know how it's always been. With Anton, the sun rose and set on Jonathan. Becky, she was always second in his affections.
And now, with Jonathan gone, she wants to be first, huh?
No, I don't think that. I think, I don't know, a young girl yearning for, reaching out for her father's love, that's all. She loves him. She wants him to love her, that's all.
Is it all?
What do you mean?
Jonathan is gone, Stella. But you know as well as I, he still stands between Becky and her father.
She's very pretty, Mac.
What, Becky? Oh, Saskia. Yes, and let's hope she plays as good as she looks.
Maybe we ought to move to one of the back rows.
Why not?
I can see she's nervous. You know, a tryout. I'm sitting here. Maybe she just... Oh,
forget it. Saskia Rubens is a pro. You know, all pros have nerves.
All right, gentlemen, let's get on with it. Are you, ready, Miss Rubens?
Yes, Maestro.
Now we can take any moment you wish.
Well, it doesn't matter to me, Maestro. Whatever you want.
Huh? I see. You're very confident.
Oh, why shouldn't I be? I wouldn't be here for a tryout if I wasn't good.
Oh. Very well, we'll try the first movement after the introduction. Miss Rubens, perhaps you'd rather try the rondo.
Well, what was wrong?
You ask me what was wrong. You don't know?
No, I don't.
You don't know. You're playing notes, not heart. That's what's wrong. Notes without heart. You might as well tear up the music. We'll try it again. This time with expression, Miss Rubens. Very well. Here we go.
What now?
I don't know.
Miss Rubens. That fingering.
Yes, Maestro.
Where did you get it from?
Get it from? I don't know. I suppose I've always used that fingering.
You copied it.
I beg your pardon.
You heard my son. Or a recording in which he used that fingering.
Well, of course I've heard your son. I've heard every recording he ever made, but I've never copied...
Well, unconsciously, perhaps unconsciously...
Maestro, you... I have never copied anyone, including your son.
Ah.
Well, then again, we'll try it again.
What, Peggy?
Well, you know, no one ever played that passage with exactly that fingering but Jonathan, because no one else ever could.
By heaven, I think you're right. But if you are, Peggy, what does this mean?
I don't know what it means, Mac. I wish I did.
Saskia Rubens using the same fingering as Jonathan Stern? Is it a coincidence? Or is some arcane force at work? Even Rebecca Stern is confused and unable to say what is taking place. Well, perhaps matters will be clarified when I return shortly for Act Two.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Lots of people are coming in, playing it smart to get a head start, investing time to build the future. It's such a good place to begin, a room to grow, a getting to know just where you want to be. Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way, long, long way.
If you want to do something positive for yourself and your country, take your place with us. Join the people who've joined the army.
Join the people who join.
For more information, call 800-523-5000, toll free.
When Jonathan Stern, child prodigy and at 20, solo violinist of the City Symphony under his father Anton, died suddenly, Anton fell into a deep depression. Recovered, or so it seemed, he took the symphony on a 2-month tour, from which he returned a few days ago. Now in the City Concert Hall, as Anton tries out a new solo violinist, Saskia Rubens, something strange and baffling seems to be happening.
Stop! Stop!
Is this some kind of joke, Miss Rubens? Some kind of grisly joke?
I don't know what you mean, Mike.
No one has ever fingered that passage, played it the way you are, except my son, my dead son.
I've told you, I don't know anything about that. If I am using his fingering, it's an accident, a coincidence.
Accident? Coincidence? Mac!
Yes, Anton.
You heard. Is she using Jonathan's fingering or not?
Well, she seems to be, yes.
But Father...
And Mac! Mac, has anyone but Jonathan ever used that fingering?
Not that I know of.
Father!
If this was an accident, Miss Rubens, it's the kind of accident I won't stomach. And I warn you not to repeat it.
You needn't worry about that, Maestro. I won't be here to repeat it.
That's fine with me. You can get out.
Father,
Will you listen to me?
What, Rebecca, what?
You've forgotten something. Jonathan was the only one who ever used that fingering, because no one else ever could, until now.
Yes, you're right. Only a prodigy, a genius like Jonathan could... How could I forget?
Well, you were shocked and upset.
But she, Reuben, she...
As I said, it's just an accident, a coincidence.
No, Rebecca, not that at all. Don't you see, daughter, don't you see?
Well, of course. By the greatest good fortune, you found someone else to replace Jonathan as a soloist.
Replacement? She's no replacement. She is Jonathan.
What do you mean?
Yes, what do you mean?
Oh, why, he's returned. His spirit. That wasn't Saskia Rubens playing. That was Jonathan. And the fingering. Her hand, but Jonathan's spirit in that hand.
Oh,
why, don't
listen.
You see? Don't you see? It was Jonathan's way of telling me he's returned. Mac, get her, Rubens, get her back for me.
Oh, now, the way she stormed out, I'm not sure I can.
You can, you will, Mac. You must.
Well, Becky, good to see you again. Sit down. Cigarette?
Thank you, Dr. Edmund, thank you.
I read about your father's triumphant tour, I suppose it's called. Nothing but praise and acclaim for the orchestra and him. How is he? Did the tour turn out to be the therapy I felt sure it would be?
Well, that's why I'm here. I need your help, for me as well as my father.
Something went wrong?
Well, when he arrived home, nearly a week ago now, he thought... Well, it only lasted a few minutes. He thought Jonathan was still alive, that he could hear him practicing in the studio.
Hmm.
Well, of course, when he went to the studio and Jonathan wasn't there, he realized it was just his imagination.
Well, these relapses do happen.
Yes, but the strangest thing happened yesterday afternoon. He was trying out a new violinist, Saskia Rubens.
Well, yes, I've heard of her.
Well, during the tryout, she played a passage the way Jonathan played it when he was alive, and... She used the identical fingering that Jonathan, only Jonathan, could use. And my father saw it, heard it.
Hmm. Another little relapse? Huh?
I saw it and heard it, too.
Oh?
Father thinks that Jonathan has returned to him. That using Saskia's body, his spirit and his genius has come back.
And you? What do you think?
Well, I don't know what to think. I've never been so confused. That's why I'm here.
Well, I treated your father's melancholia. Then, when he went on tour, treated you for a milder, much milder, depression. And once you faced the reason for your depression, you snapped out of it. Becky... What was... Tell me again. Put it into words. What was the reason for your depression? Ah, come now, Becky. Say it.
I was glad Jonathan was dead.
Why?
Because he always stood between my father and me. That my father loved him more than me. He did. He did. All my life, I've wanted my father's love. And when Jonathan died, I thought at last I'd have it. But I haven't. Especially now that he believes...
That he believes Jonathan has returned.
Yes. Yes.
And that, Becky, is why you're confused. Unhappy. You've allowed your brain to recreate the ghost we got rid of together, you and I. Becky, Jonathan has not returned. Rubens, this fingering of hers or whatever, she plays that way, that's all. As simple as that.
Oh, you can convince me. But no one will ever convince my father.
Yes, well, someone, if not me, someone else had better. Because if he doesn't realize what he's come to believe just isn't so.
Yes. If he doesn't.
He'll lose his mind, Becky.
Anton.
Hmm? Oh, yes, Stella?
Calm down and have some lunch. All you do is sit here in Jonathan's studio holding his Stradivarius, fondling it, caressing it.
It was his. He loved it. I love it.
Yes, I know, but...
And I've had a thought. Sitting here holding the Strad, it's brought Jonathan closer, helping him to... Communicate. He gave me the thought.
What thought, Father?
Oh, Becky.
At the concert tomorrow night, Saskia Rubens will play this Stradivarius. Jonathan Stradivarius.
But you said no one must ever play it again. That no other hand but Jonathan's must ever touch it again.
It will be Jonathan's hand that plays it tomorrow.
Anton, my dear.
It will help Jonathan, his spirit, help it to return. Why don't you understand? It's only Saskia's body that sits there, but it's Jonathan who plays. Her hands become his. It will be his hands that hold the Strad. Play it tomorrow night.
No.
Huh?
It will not be Jonathan's hands. It will be Saskia Rubens.
I tell you...
Becky, you're deluding yourself, and worse, you're letting your mind, your emotions get out of control again and play you tricks. And if these tricks go on, you will go mad.
Oh, you sound like Dr. Edmund.
Well, I'm telling you what Dr. Edmund said. I've just come from seeing him.
Seeing Edmunds? You?
Yes. I needed help for a depression of my own.
Oh, well, I'm glad you went to Edmunds. Why should that upset me? After all, we were all saddened by Jonathan's death.
I was not saddened. I was glad.
Becky, oh, my God.
You were glad? Glad Jonathan was dead?
Yes. And I'm sorry I was glad. I'm sorrier than I can tell you, but I couldn't help myself. You've got to understand.
Understand?
What?
What kind of sister were you to rejoice in her brother's death? What kind of woman are you to be happy at anyone's death? What kind of daughter to take pleasure in my sorrow?
Oh, Father!
Get out! Get out of the studio and never, never, do you hear me? Never set foot in it again.
Father!
Out! Out of the studio! Yes, and out of my life. Why? Why, Mac, must you talk about this now, minutes before I go on?
I know it's not exactly the best moment, but Bakewell asked me to ask you again.
Then tell him the answer is no, and it will always be no. The Paganini killed Jonathan.
But, Anton...
Don't you understand why I can't release it? I couldn't bear to hear it.
I'm sorry, Anton. Forgive me.
It's time. You gave Saskia the Strad?
Yes.
And told her why I want her to play tonight?
I did.
What did she say?
She said...
Well, yes.
She said, tell him Saskia Rubens is the virtuoso tonight, not Jonathan Stern.
We'll see. We shall see. Come.
Well, Mac?
I don't know, Stella. He's in a strange mood. I've never seen him like this.
What do you mean?
I don't know. One minute he's irrational, I guess that's the word. And then the next, well, he talked about maybe he's to blame that Becky felt about Jonathan the way she felt.
Well, he was. To a large extent, he was.
Saskia Rubens can play like that? Saskia Rubens is tonight's virtuoso!
Mac. Mac, what in the world? Why is Anton yelling at Saskia?
Like that. No one but Jonathan Stern!
What's happening to
him? Listen to it! It's not you! Not you! Jonathan is playing!
Good Lord, he's talking to Saskia, is it?
Jonathan! His spirit in your body! In your hands!
Mac! Mac, he's gone crazy! Mac, he's out of his mind!
Oh, good Lord!
Jonathan! You come back! You're here! Play, my son!
Come on!
Play!
Look, he's swaying back and forth. He's
Mac!
Somebody catch him! Anton!
In a moment of high drama, certainly never before witnessed in the concert hall, Anton Stern crashes across the podium to lie unconscious on the stage floor as the audience and the orchestra sit in shocked astonishment. I'll return shortly for Act Three.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom's spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free, inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
There's a long stretch of open road before you. You're at the controls of a Buick Century, a really fine mid-sized car. Comfort abounds. A sophisticated suspension system is smoothing the way. An underhood, a frugal V6 engine economically goes about its business. You're happy, you're free, and you're in a Buick.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all.
Life, a way of life that you can share, a way that shows you really care for little babes so soon to be born the same as you and me. A way of life. One of us must find a way of life. Each precious moment that you give will give some child a chance to live. So join the march of dimes today and find a way of
life. Unable to face the death of his son, Anton Stern, conductor of the City Symphony, vacillates between reality, when he knows Jonathan to be dead, and fantasy, when only minutes ago he believed Jonathan's spirit had taken possession of violinist Saskia Rubens in a rendition of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. Now, in Anton's dressing room...
Lay him on the couch. Gently, gently, lads. Thank you, boys. And close the door as you go out, will you?
Mark? Mark?
Take it easy, Anton. You're going to be all right.
Oh, what happened? I must have fainted. I don't remember.
Yes?
Della and Becky, let us in. How is he? Oh, Anton, what happened out there?
I don't remember. Wait. It comes back to me now.
Yes, Father. What?
Jonathan. It worked.
What worked?
The Strad letting Saskia play John's violin tonight. It brought him back from the dead.
Anton, you must stop believing such nonsense.
I tell you, he was there before me on the stage, using Saskia, her body, her hands. The Strad is the link, the bond that holds Jonathan to this world. We can keep
been touched, my son and I, through that strand.
Father, you must...
Don't tell me what to do or not to do, Rebecca.
You think I don't know what you're up to?
Up to?
You wish to keep us apart, your brother and I.
No!
Because you were always jealous of him, envious of him.
No!
You told me, admitted you were glad he was dead.
Anton, she never meant that.
She said it. Get her out of here.
Anton!
Out of my sight. Out!
In heaven's name, Anton.
It's all right, Mac. I better go.
Oh, he's out of his mind, Mac. He's out of his mind.
Get the strad from Saskia, Mac.
Just as soon as...
No! Get it now.
You needn't tell me why you're here, Peggy. The papers are full of what happened last night.
Yes, but Dr. Edmonds, they say nothing about what went on in my father's dressing room afterward. Nothing about Jonathan Stradivarius.
Why, no. Tell me.
Well, you know that after Jonathan died, my father put the Strad in its case and closed it and placed it in Jonathan's studio, flanked by vases of flowers, a sort of a shrine.
Yes. And also, it was his intention that no one should ever play it again.
Yes, so it came as a shock to us all when he decided to let Rubens play it at last night's concert.
Why did he do a thing like
that? He got it into his head that Jonathan was using Rubens' body to return to Earth.
And if Rubens played Jonathan's favorite violin...
It would doubly ensure Jonathan's return.
He's convinced it did?
Absolutely certain.
What else happened last night, Becky?
Well, he believes that I want to stand between him and Jonathan, that I always was envious and resentful of Jonathan. And,
well, you were.
Well, I know. But you cured me of that. You made me realize it wasn't Jonathan's fame I wanted, but my father's love. And now that I want it more than ever, and want to give him my love to comfort him, he refuses to see me.
He'll change his mind.
I don't think so.
Yes, he will. He loves you, Becky. Loves you every bit as much as he ever loved Jonathan.
Oh, then why hasn't he ever shown it?
Maybe he's never thought he had to. Maybe he's always believed you knew it.
Oh, he's never said...
Exactly. Never said. Never opened his heart in words. That's half the trouble with the world, Becky.
Is it too late for us? My father and me.
It may be. So much depends on how deep he's gone into this psychosis of his.
Psychosis?
He's become fixated on the Stradivarius. Well, there are two ways to cure a fixation. You can either gently pry the patient away from it, a procedure that can take years, or you can risk smashing it.
And in my father's case?
Knowing him as I do, I would be for... smashing it. There's risk involved. Grave risk. But also calculated risk. The question in my mind is...
Yes?
Are you willing to take that risk?
I?
You. Put it another way, Becky. Do you love your father as much as you think you do? Love him enough to risk his life and yours?
Anton, put the Stradivarius back on the table. Stop holding it, fondling it, caressing it.
It will bring him back to me. He'll come. I know he'll come.
Anton, dearest Anton, you delude yourself. Jonathan is dead.
There is no such thing as death. If you believe in life.
I want to believe. I loved him, miss him, as much as you, but I won't. I can't delude myself.
Leave me, Stella. Leave me alone.
Come downstairs. I'll have Olga make tea.
No, I'll stay here.
Anton?
Here.
Thank you, Olga. I'll pour. Mac, you'd rather not have a drink?
Oh, no, Stella. Tea's fine. If we could only persuade him to see Edmonds again.
Oh, I tried. It's no use.
I lay it on the line, Stella.
This could mean the end of Antoine's career.
Don't say that, Mac.
Every penny had to be refunded for the concert the other night. The board of directors called me on the carpet this morning. They know there's something seriously wrong with Antoine.
Well, I'm afraid we know that, too.
And then there's Bakewell. He says the recording company will sue if Antoine goes on refusing to release Jonathan's last recording.
Oh, Becky.
Mother. Mac?
Oh, boy, get those eyes. Oh, you poor kid. This has really got you down, hasn't it?
But not out, Mac. I've just come from seeing Dr. Edmonds.
Well, why did you go to see Edmonds? What good can he do?
Your mother's right, Becky. Now, don't get me wrong. Edmonds did his best, but it wasn't good enough.
He's upstairs, brooding in Jonathan's room. If he isn't already mad, Becky, he soon will be.
But that's why we've got to do something drastic.
What do you mean, drastic?
Edmonds says that Father's become fixated on Jonathan's violin, the Strad, because, in effect, it replaces Jonathan physically. It's all that's left of Jonathan.
Well, I think we're all aware of that.
Yes, well, Edmund says there are two courses open to us. One would be the treatment that would take years and might not be successful. And the other is to take the drastic action that I just mentioned and smash the fixation.
Smash it?
To bits. But if we take the second course, in Edmund's words, it could kill Father and me.
What do you mean?
I mean that if I fail...
You will do this, whatever it is?
I'm the only one who can. If I succeed, Father will be well again, and in another way, in a special way, so will I. But if I fail, he can... Well, he very likely will be driven into hopeless insanity, in which case he'd be better off dead.
And you?
Becky... You? Oh, I'd be better off dead, too.
And no one played the Tchaikovsky the way Jonathan did. No one ever could. Genius. Sheer genius. Mac, you heard him, and you, Stella.
Anton, eat your dinner. It's getting cold.
Olga, more wine, please.
You're drinking, too.
And even practicing. Why, when he practiced up there in the studio, I would listen for hours on end. Such sweetness of intonation, such delicacy of fingering and bowing, and oh, why, I can hear that now. So clearly, so sweetly, I would almost swear he was in the studio now, practicing this very minute, practicing.
I enjoyed his practice, too. Why, it was a privilege to hear him, Anton. You know, if I shut my eyes, I believe I could almost hear him.
Anton?
I do hear him.
What?
No, listen.
I hear nothing.
I do.
Oh, no, Anton.
I hear him. He's come back. His spirit came back. The studio, he's there now. Jonathan?
Stella.
Jonathan?
Please, God, make it work.
What is this? Watch!
I'm practicing. What else?
You in your hands, his violin, you dare?
I don't see what's so daring.
You were not to play it, not to touch it, I warned you. It is Jonathan's violin, Jonathan.
Well, seeing that Jonathan's dead.
He's not dead, his spirit lives.
Well, so does mine, and so does my body. He can't play it, I can.
He played it last night.
Oh,
he...
Rubens played it, not Jonathan. Just as I'm playing it now, not Jonathan.
Sacrilege. Give me that.
No, I'll smash it first.
Are you out of your mind?
No, you are. You can think of nothing but Jonathan, always Jonathan, and because of that, you become fixated on this piece of wood and catgut.
Wood? Catgut?
You think you're the only person in the world who mourns Jonathan. You think you're the only one with feelings. You think Mother didn't die a death with Jonathan. That I didn't. That Mac didn't. Oh, you selfish man, crying and begging for a little thing that was Jonathan, this fiddle.
Give it to me.
All right, very well, I'll give it to you. But first, over my knee.
No.
And then against the wall.
No. 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 No.
Here.
No.
Here. Take it.
Splinters. Pieces.
Becky, Becky.
Becky?
How could you do this? How?
Because I love you. And you love me. Oh, Father, I can't bear it, but I must tell you. That look on your face. It isn't the Strad. It's a copy.
No. Not the Strad? Jonathan Strad?
Could I destroy that?
But
you... even if I could, there was no need. It wasn't a violin that had to be destroyed, only what it meant to you. I didn't break a violin. I broke your madness.
Do you know? I think you did. When you smashed it, splintered it inside me, something. I don't know. It's smashed and splintered, too.
But it might not have. You might have been smashed and splintered. It was a risk I had to take.
And you took it, Becky. Because you love me.
I've always loved you. Didn't you know that?
Oh, yes. And I love you. Only...
only what?
Till now, I never knew how much.
They say that when something is broken and mended, it is stronger than ever before. Does that apply to the human heart, do you suppose? I don't know about yours, but my heart's been broken more than once, and I'm still around. Well, my heart may not be stronger, but it's a lot wiser. Yours too? I'll be back in a moment.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS, 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
Speaking of wiser hearts, as we were, Anton Stearns is much wiser. One thing Anton learned after a long chat with Dr. Edmonds was to tell someone of the love within him. Honestly, we just don't do it enough, none of us. Our cast included Ian Martin, Marion Seldes, Carol Tytel, and Lon Clark. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, what do we do now?
I know what I should do.
And what's that?
Head for the police station and turn you over to the authorities.
Why?
Because you're an escaped convict.
I know I'm an escaped convict, but why should you turn me over to the police?
Why? Because it's my duty as a citizen.
Oh. And you always do your duty as a citizen?
I try to. At least to the best of my ability.
And as you see it, it's your duty to return me to the penitentiary.
Yes.
Why? I never did you any harm. I killed a man who needed killing.
You can't kill another human being just because you want to.
What else was I to do? He used me, and then he tossed me aside as if I were an object of no consequence.
What kind of society would we have if people were free to kill at their own pleasure?
You haven't answered my question, which is... what do we do now?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Uncle Ben's Long Grain and Wild Rice. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next on KIXI Seattle. The weather outlook calls for variable cloudiness through tomorrow night, with chance of showers, becoming partly cloudy on Tuesday. The highs in the upper 40s and lows in the upper 30s. And in downtown Seattle, currently it's 40 degrees, the same at the airport. The barometer rising at 30.09. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Communist firing on rescue ships may mean U.S. vessels, ordered not to get involved in hostilities, will be unable to take refugees out of the northern provinces of South Vietnam. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS radio network. U.S. officials in Saigon confirm that North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops at Da Nang opened fire on rescue boats. Virtually the entire South Vietnamese Navy has been detailed to trying to take out refugees. Standing by in international waters, five ships under charter to the U.S. government, a British frigate, and possibly at this hour, two U.S. Navy amphibious vessels. They were expected to arrive about now, the first of four ordered there by President Ford. But Mr. Ford warned that they were to pull out if shot at, not to shoot back. Senator Hubert Humphrey, on a NATO fact-finding mission in Brussels, sounded another caution note about the sea rescue effort.
Well, I'm pleased that the president has taken that initiative. However, I want to make it clear that there is no authority that the president has at all to commit American forces to battle, air, navy, or land. The Congress of the United States has prohibited that by public law, and I want no reentry of American military power in South Vietnam.
Senator Hubert Humphrey. Opposition politicians in Saigon are calling for President Chu to step aside to allow a so-called peace government to try to save what is left of South Vietnam. In Cambodia, Premier Lon Nol is stepping out in a matter of hours. He's moved up his departure. While he had said previously he was just taking a trip, government sources now expect him to deliver a farewell speech in which he says he realizes his presence is impeding peace efforts. CBS News continues following this message.
What are you building with your blocks?
I want to make a world bigger than me.
Oh, well, it looks pretty good.
Yep, except it needs more blocks.
Well, what are you putting into your world?
Trees and stores and garages.
Is there anything that you're not going to put into your world?
Hats.
No hats?
Because I'm not going to put any rain in this world.
Oh.
So nobody needs hats.
Hey, it's getting pretty big.
It's already as tall as me.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Okay.
Your world fell apart?
Yep, except I'm going to build it again.
And what kind of world are you going to build next?
A world that don't ever fall down.
You can build a better world, too. Just begin.
Can you give me that block, please?
From the Franciscans, with love.
Thousands of uniformed men marched through the streets to a Belfast cemetery Sunday to honor IRA dead killed during the past 5 years of guerrilla war. Peter Martin reports from Belfast.
Thousands of people lined the streets in the Catholic district of the city to lend support to the guerrilla movement. At graveside ceremonies, IRA man Seamus Toomey, one of the British Army's most wanted men, made a surprise appearance to speak to the crowd.
The Republican Army, after 5 years of hard, bitter fighting, stands today stronger and better equipped than any time in its history. The ideals for which our comrades have died of which thousands languish in prison, will not be bartered for any sops of a so-called convention. The volunteers who lie on these graves fought for a free United Ireland, and nothing less would satisfy us.
The IRA leader claimed the actions of the British Army since the IRA truce was called in mid-February has put the ceasefire under severe strain. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
In Hamilton, Ohio, a city about 30 miles north of Cincinnati, an Easter tragedy. 8 children, their parents, and grandmother were shot to death. Police have taken the man into custody for questioning, but to this hour, no charges have been filed against him. This item just in, the wife and daughter of Sir Edmund Hillary, who conquered Mount Everest for the first time in 1953, were among 5 persons killed in an air crash near Kathmandu, Nepal, on Monday morning. They died in a single-engine plane that crashed as it took off from Kathmandu Airport. More in a moment.
Finally, Jordan, with a wonderful weekend of movies, 1975. One of the recent line formers at the box office was That's Entertainment, long on nostalgia, but a hit with the young set, who surprised Gene Kelly into saying,
"We were quite astounded to find that adolescents and pre-adolescents are the big ticket buyers and the ones that go in to see it."
Join me with Gene, Valerie Perrine, Mel Brooks, and lots more top filmmakers on the movies 1975, April 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Sometimes it's really hard to think of new ways to cut corners and save money. You probably feel you've tried just about everything and wonder where else to turn for ideas. A good source is the Consumer Information Index, which lists federal government publications that tell you how to buy better, whether you're shopping for food, prescription drugs, cars, household equipment, or service. For a free copy of the index, write to Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, zip code 81009.
There's somebody in the town of Penne, Italy, who won't have to worry about where his next plate of spaghetti is coming from, or his next sirloin steak, or even Rolls Royce. The person, not identified by officials of the Italian soccer pools, made a 63-cent bet on Sunday's games. He guessed correctly the outcome of 13 games. The only one in the country to do so, he won more than $1,400,000. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time is 6 minutes past 11.